Good morning, everyone. We want to welcome you to the Lord's house. We're glad of your presence with us, especially on this Remembrance Lord's Day. We're conscious that some are at remembrance services, visiting cenotaphs, responsibilities there. We trust that some will be able to join with us as the service continues. I want to emphasize to you some words that are found in Proverbs chapter 29. It's those words, where there is no vision, the people perish. It's the 18th verse of the 29th chapter of the book of Proverbs. The idea where there's no vision, it's to do with the prophets, the message of God, how important that is across the land without the faithful preaching of the word of God. We sometimes consider the verse as a vision for the work of God and for those that are lost, and it's in that sense, in keeping with our message today, that I want to emphasize those words to you this morning. The Psalm 121 is our opening praise. I to the hills will lift mine eyes. From whence doth come mine aid? My safety cometh from the Lord, who heaven and earth hath made. We need the Lord's help personally, and our land certainly needs the Lord's help, and it's true of the church as well. May the Lord bless us as we sing the words together. The 121st Psalm, please. Together in prayer. Pray the Lord will set our hearts. We'll pray for his help, especially in this service this morning. Heavenly Father, we approach your eternal throne. We're glad, Father, that we can come to thee in prayer. We acknowledge, Father, our great help, our great need of help as we come to seek thee. We feel our need. We feel, Father, how inadequate we are. We confess that we feel weakness. We're not able to pray as we would want. We're not able, Father, to commune with thee and to bring the petitions before your throne that we would desire to do. Even, Father, as we have sung together, we're conscious that we're in great need of the help of God. We ask that you'll grant it to us in this service this morning. Pray that we'll be conscious of being helped of thy Spirit, even as we seek thee just now in prayer. Lord, we feel our emptiness, our weakness, our lack of power. We pray the power of the Holy Ghost will come down and descend upon us. We pray that the Spirit will quicken us today. We pray that we'll know a little reviving in our services. Pray the breath of God will come upon these meetings. Pray the Spirit will come, Father, and guide us through the meetings. Pray that he'll guide us, especially in our study or meditation of your word. We ask that the Holy Ghost will come and lead us today into all truth. We pray, Father, he might be our teacher. We know that the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, their foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. Lord, we need the Spirit to come today and enlighten us and teach us. Pray that he might apply the word even with great power to our hearts. Especially, Father, we pray for the movings of the Spirit in the lives of those that are still out of Christ, those that have no hope for eternity. We want to pray, Father, there'll be some in our meetings today that will be born again of the Spirit. We thank you, Father, for the Sunday school, the Bible classes, the teaching of the Word of God this morning to the hearts of the boys and girls and to the young people. Lord, come and work on in their hearts. We rejoice that even little ones, your word tells us, can believe on thee. Remember that Timothy could say that from a child he had known the Holy Scriptures. What a blessing that is. We pray, Father, to all the children of this church that you'll make them wise unto salvation through faith that is in Christ Jesus. Pray, Father, that you'll settle our hearts this morning. Pray there'll be a stillness in our hearts. Pray for a stillness in this meeting. Want to pray, Father, that you'll come and presence yourself amongst us. We pray, Father, in every part of the meeting and every part of the day that we will be conscious just of the Lord's presence, the Lord being here, the Lord being amongst us. Lord, come down, even in a new way, into your house today. Come and fill this house with your glory. Lord, we're mindful of the special day, this Remembrance Sunday. We're glad of the opportunity just to look back. We thank you, Father, that you've given to us a memory. Thank you for the memory that we have. We praise thee, Father, for a sound body, a sound mind, to be in the house of God today. We would not want to take those blessings for granted. Lord, we're conscious just of many that are unwell, many with issues of health relating to mind and body. Do be near to them, many of them that are prevented because of those infirmities from being in the house of God. May they know the nearness of the Lord, especially today. But Lord, we're glad that we're able to look back to former times. We're able to recall times that we've been taught about and been told about. Thank you, Father, for the great deliverances that this land has known, that this nation of ours has experienced on many occasions, the intervention of God. You've delivered us from our enemies, delivered us, Father, from evil men and from tyranny. You've given to us freedom and liberty to meet, even in this manner. But we're conscious, Father, that those liberties have been purchased for us at highest cost. Those that have paid the supreme sacrifice, those that gave their lives in defense of this land, in defense of our freedom. Remember the word of God, how aptly it sums that truth up. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. And Lord, we're glad today we're able to have the opportunity to remember, to look back. Thank you for the day that's set aside. We know it's a day of sadness, Father, for many, as they think of loved ones that were taken away in very sad circumstances, those that were cut off, Father, some very early in life, the pain, the hurt, that is left in hearts even to this very day. We ask, Lord, be near to all that grieve. Father, be near to all that feel today the loss of loved ones. Those, Father, that paid the supreme sacrifice, want to pray that they would especially know the comfort and the presence of God. Your word tells us that you can heal the brokenhearted. Lord, what an encouraging truth that is. May that be so, Father, in the lives of many. We are mindful, even, Father, of those that were spared, yet so many that were maimed and injured and live with the infirmity, the restriction of those injuries day by day. We ask, Lord, that you be near to them and give them grace and help. We pray, Father, that we might ever treasure the liberties that you've given to us in this land. And we pray, Father, that those liberties might be used for the furtherance of the gospel, for the extension of your kingdom, especially in this nation of ours. We ask thee, Lord, even in these days when the enemy is working in an insidious manner, Lord, we want to pray that it will please thee to preserve the liberties of our land and preserve the freedom that we know to worship and to proclaim the everlasting gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, we want to take time today to remember thee. We've come to your house. Your word says we're to remember your day. We're to remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. And Lord, we remember thy day in order that we might remember thee and remember your goodness, the blessings of the past week, the provision that you've given to us. Oh Lord, we're conscious of these very trying days, the extremity of the days financially. And yet, Lord, we can say of a truth you've given to us every day, our daily bread. Thank you for that, Father. We remember every spiritual blessing you've bestowed upon us. Thank you for the Bible, for the Word of God. We thank you, Father, we're found today in a place where the Word of God will be proclaimed. We pray that you'll bless the preaching of the gospel, not just here, but across the land, in every place, in every pulpit, by every brother who will be faithful to the blood and to the book. And Lord, we want to remember today, especially Calvary. Remember the Lord's table that we sat around last Sabbath morning, this day in remembrance of me. You've told us that we're never to forget the supremest sacrifice that our Savior made for us on Calvary's cross. That sacrifice to end all sacrifice. This man, after he had made one sacrifice for sin forever, sat down on the right hand of God. Lord, help us to ponder our Savior. May we consider him as the book of Hebrews exhorts us, that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself. And Lord, we pray, help us today to get a sight of Christ. And we pray that we'll hear your voice, that you'll come into your house today, come in amongst your people. Remember the Savior walked in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks, in the midst of those churches in Asia Minor. Lord, that's the longing of our hearts today, that the Savior himself will come into our midst, come and be amongst us. Answer these our prayers, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We're turning in the scriptures this morning. Matthew chapter 9. It's a portion that we read from on Wednesday night at the midweek service. We're going to return to it this morning. Matthew chapter 9. And we're going to read together down into chapter 10 as well. So the ninth chapter of Matthew's Gospel, beginning at verse 35. Matthew 9, verse 35. Let's hear the word of the Lord to our hearts. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep, having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. And when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits, to cast them out, and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Now the names of the 12 apostles are these: the first, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew his brother, James the son of Zebedee, and John his brother, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas, and Matthew the publican, James the son of Alphaeus, and Lebbaeus, whose surname was Thaddeus, Simon the Canaanite, and Judas Iscariot, who also betrayed him. These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, "Go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as ye go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand." So we're ending just there this morning at the close of the seventh verse. And we pray the Lord will add his blessing this morning to the public reading of his word. We give an earnest word of welcome to each one. We want to thank you for your presence. It's in the Savior's name that we welcome you to the Lord's house on this Remembrance Sunday Sabbath morning. We're glad of your fellowship, and we pray that you will know the Lord drawing near, and especially we pray that you'll hear the Lord speaking to your heart. We're especially glad to see our brother Ken Hartley back with us again in this place. We're glad that Ken is much better and feeling well enough to be out again in the Lord's house. Ken has asked that we would express his thanks to you all for your messages, all the messages that you sent to him over recent days, and especially for all the prayers that were offered on his behalf. And we're glad to see the children. We like to emphasize that. We're thankful to the children that came to Sunday school, to the Bible classes, and we're thankful for your presence with us in the Lord's house. We had a very nice time with the young people at their meeting on Friday night past. We were encouraged by that meeting and by the time of fellowship with them. We also want to welcome those that are watching the service on the live stream. We're glad to be able to broadcast these meetings. We pray that you'll be encouraged. It encourages us that you have an interest in the meeting. And we pray that you'll be blessed by every part of this service, but especially the preaching of the Word of God. Just to make you aware that I'll be taking the remainder of my holidays from tomorrow. We're planning to go out to visit Matthew and Emma and her family for 2 weeks over the period of Thanksgiving. They're in the United States of America. We haven't been out to visit them since May of 2019, a year or so before the pandemic commenced, and we're looking forward to that visit. Ruth and Jesse are going with us tomorrow, and then William's planning to come out next week for the period over Thanksgiving. So we would appreciate your prayers, especially for the travel. Keep in mind, if you need any pastoral help during that period, to contact one of the elders, and they will be able to make the necessary arrangements for you. Keep in mind, please, the service tonight, the prayer meeting at 6, the gospel service at 7. Just a reminder that that is our annual remembrance service. We will be observing an act of remembrance in the service this evening. We'll be glad of your presence and support, and do take it as an opportunity just to bring others with you as well to hear the Word of God and the challenge of it. The meetings in the will of the Lord for the incoming week, Tuesday at 6:45 is both bright hours here in the church and also in Killalea. Thankful to all our leaders and workers. We're glad that you've been encouraged in good numbers that are coming along to both of those meetings. Prayer that has been answered in that regard. Keep in mind the midweek service, Wednesday night at 8. That will be a missionary deputation. The Reverend Ray Kerskadden from the Korigari Church will be here to tell of his call to Uganda. And he'll also show the deputation video that has been prepared. It's a very interesting story. The Lord laid the land of Uganda upon our brother's heart a number of years ago, even before our mission board and our presbytery was involved with the work there at Emmanuel. So do keep that in mind. There will be a missionary offering that will be taken for our brother's support at that meeting. Remember that he's visiting all of the churches up until just after Easter of next year he has been approved or accepted by the presbytery, there's conditions upon that. He has to raise all of the money that is required for his expenses and 70% of what is required for his salary. So do come along to that meeting and hear our brother. Encourage him both by your presence and by your giving. Keep in mind, on Friday night, the Youth Fellowship. It's a home meeting on Friday night at 8 o'clock. And one of the youth leaders, our sister Hannah Carson, will be speaking to the young people on Friday evening. Next Lord's Day, the 20th of November, the Sunday School and Bible classes at 10:40. The services at the usual times, 11:30 a.m., 6:30 p.m. Please remember the half hour of prayer before both of those services. The preacher next Sabbath day is the Reverend Alan Smiley, previously the minister of the Ballygown Church, just retired from the pastoral ministry a couple of months ago. So Mr. Smiley will be preaching at both services. Keep in mind, please, the magazines that are available, the latest edition of the Vision magazine, and also the latest edition of the Watching and Waiting. Remember, too, the calendars that are there. The LTBS has produced a special calendar for 2023. It's a special anniversary edition. Next year's the 50th anniversary of the founding of that work. So some very nice pictures. Dr. Kearns, the founder of LTBS, is included in a few of them as well. This is a little more expensive than usual. It's £5 this year. But remember that all of the proceeds from that go to the work of LTBS. And also, there's the Way of Life calendar. This is the one that's produced for the ploughing outreach down south. And they also produce additional copies for churches to use in outreach for the farmers, the folk from the country. Very nice pictures of farming settings, the rural community. Those are free of charge. We're thankful to our sister, Mrs. Lily Crane, for providing us with those. So do take as many copies of those as you can use and distribute them as a way of outreach as widely as possible in the community. Remember our brother Wallace. We've been praying for Wallace for a number of weeks. He's been waiting on a procedure. So in the will of the Lord, that will take place this coming Thursday. Wallace received the appointment just last week, the middle towards the end of the week. So we do want to remember Wallace. We commend him to you for your prayers. We have been remembering Brian Quinn for a number of weeks. Brian had his procedure just at the end of the week down in the Royal. They weren't able to do all that they wanted to do. Brian wasn't strong enough or well enough for that to take place. So he's going to be kept in. They're going to further monitor his condition, and they may need some further procedure, some further surgery in coming weeks. We're going to sing together as we come to the Word of God, just our second hymn this morning. 513, we're thinking of souls, the need of lost souls, the need of reaching those souls. Blessed is the service of our Lord and King. Precious are the jewels we may help to bring. Down the passing ages, words of counsel ring. He that winneth souls is wise. So the hymn 513, will stand to sing, please.
We that win it.
Just to mention too that we were down at the Mall, down at the Cenotaph. Our brother Adrian Stewart and I laid the wreath this morning on behalf of the congregation here. There was a good number that was gathered. It was a very nice morning. We certainly have been there on mornings that have been much, much colder, much more inclement. So it was a beautiful morning for the service, and it's good for us to be able to do that as a congregation, to be a part of those remembrance services. And we know that there'll be such services taking place right throughout the day across the province and across the land. So keep in mind our remembrance service tonight. We'd be very encouraged just to have you present with us. Just remind you there are gospel missions taking place. The Tandragee Church has a mission in the Ahori Orange Hall. There's four men that are taking part in that: the Reverend Park, the Reverend Gray, the Reverend Morrow, and the Reverend Greenfield. I'll begin up, the Lord willing, after our service tonight to sing at the service for them. So we're looking forward to that visit, to be able to give a little support. And then the Reverend Martin is conducting a gospel campaign in Macrafelt. They've had a week over, followed on from their harvest. They've been very encouraged with the attendances, the number of unsaved, and the spirit that has been known in those meetings. So keep those all in your prayers, and if you're able, do go up to Tandragee. We know Macrafelt's a little bit further away, but if you're able to go up to Ahori and support them, that would be an encouragement to them. Let's just pray together. We'll seek the Lord's face. Father, draw near to us as we come to the Word of God. We thank you we have the Scriptures. We remember that the Scriptures declare that thy Word is truth. We ask thee, Father, to give us a greater hunger for the Word of God. We pray that you'll increase our faith in it. Thank you for the certainty of your Word, that heaven and earth shall pass away. But the Savior said, my Word shall never pass away. Lord, bless your Word to our hearts this morning. We pray that you'll challenge us. Pray that you'll speak to us. We pray, Father, that you will give us that vision, even of which we considered, where there's no vision, the people perish. And Lord, we're conscious without a vision of souls that multitudes will perish in the lost eternity without Christ as their Savior. Remember all the congregation here. We think of varying needs, every home and every family. Lord, keep your hand upon the families of the church. Keep your hand upon our children and our young people. Lord, we want to pray for your preserving hand, even as we sang in the opening psalm. Preserve them from all evil. And Lord, preserve our families, the members of our families, from the greatest evil of all, dying without Christ and going to a lost eternity. We thank you for your hand upon our brother Ken over these last 2 weeks. We thank you for prayer answered. We thank you for how well our brother is. We thank you for his presence again amongst us here in the house of God. We praise thee for his diligence, the zeal that he has, all of the work that he does here in the house of God. We pray that he might be encouraged, give him much fruit for his labours. Remember Brother Wallace as well. We commit him to thee for the week that lies ahead. Thank you, Father, for prayer answered, for this appointment that has been arranged. Pray that you'll go before our brother. Remember the doctors in all that they will do. Give them great wisdom. Pray for your hands to be upon their hands. Guide them, Father, in the operation, in the procedure. And our prayer is that it will be a complete success and that our brother will recover quickly from it again. We pray, Father, that it will be the means of encouraging Wallace and even restoring him again to a good measure of health and strength. Remember Brian at this time. Thank you for opening up the way for him to have the procedure at the end of the week. We know the disappointment that the doctors weren't able to do all that they intended. Just keep your hand upon Brian at this time, Lord, be near to him. And we pray that the doctors will know your guiding hand, that you'll bless them in all that they do just for the improvement of his health at this time. So, Father, hear our prayers. Come now. Come, Lord, and touch our hearts. And we want to pray, Father, that as well as the vision, that you'll give to us the burden. a deeper burden for those that are out of Christ. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Matthew 9, please. And the words of the 36th verse, the opening line of that 36th verse, is our text this morning. Speaking of the Savior, it says, "But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them." Think of the multitudes. It's a reminder to us of vast numbers of people. That's especially what I want us to think of this morning. The theme of the message is untold billions that are still untold. I encourage you to ponder that, to consider it. As you think of the multitudes, I want to encourage you to think of the multitudes not just in our land, our nation, but the increasing multitudes of people right across the earth. According to a recent United Nations report, this coming Tuesday, the 15th of November, 2022, will be a very significant day in the history of this world. The United Nations are suggesting that this Tuesday, the world's population is expected to pass the 8 billion number, the 8 billion of people, for the very first time. So I want you just to take that in for a moment. Think, cast your mind right across the earth, and just get a picture in your mind of the vast numbers of people, the vast numbers of souls, now approaching almost this week, that they suggest will exceed the 8 billion number. That's a very significant challenge. That is a very challenging fact. It's a very challenging statistic, especially in the light of our missionary work, especially in the light as well of all of our soul-winning efforts, the soul-winning efforts of the church. We sometimes sing those words, untold millions, are still untold. We could revise that chorus a little in the light of what is to take place this week, and we could sing, "All untold billions are still untold." There's a great challenge in that, brethren and sisters. I want you to think about a passion for souls. Dr. Oswald J. Smith wrote a book with that title. It's a striking, it's a significant title, it's a challenge. And that's what I would want to have. That's what I'm sure you would want to have as a Christian. That's what we need to have as a congregation. In fact, that's what we must have if we would live and serve as the Lord would want and as the Lord would desire. A passion for all of those lost souls out there right across the face of the earth. Can I remind you, there's no greater example of that passion for souls than the Lord Jesus Christ. He displays that passion. He displays that great love, both in his life, but especially in his death. And in our text this morning, the verse that's before us, also the verses following, verses 36, 37, 38 of Matthew 9, in these verses, we have perhaps one of the clearest examples in his life where we see that passion that the Lord Jesus had for souls. When he saw the multitudes, his response was he was moved with compassion. The love is evident, the love of Christ for all of those lost souls. There are three words, brethren and sisters, as you ponder this passage, these verses, there are three words that sum this passage up, this text, and there are three words that sum up what it means or what is required to have a passion for souls. And if we learn those words and if we obey them, then they will give to us and they will help us always to have and always to display that passion for lost souls in our own lives, in our own service for Christ. So let me just identify those three words for you from this passage. The first word is look. If you look at verse 36, consider verse 36, it says, when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them. Notice the opening words of the verse, but when he saw the multitudes. Here is the look of the Savior. We're told in these words what he was actually looking at, what his eyes were focused upon. And his eyes were focused upon the multitudes, the vast numbers of people that were all around him at that time. Can I ask you, in the light of that, just to consider the question yourself, what are you looking at? What is your eyes, your gaze, taken up with? Is it yourself? Is it your home? Your money? Your finances? Your property? Maybe your job, your business, your career? Some promotion that's maybe on the horizon? Are those the matters that have your focus, your attention at this time? If that's the case, we have to tell you that you're looking in the wrong direction. I know, of course, we must look at those things. We must attend to them. We must take care of all of those matters in our daily living. But remember, brethren and sisters, we're not to be completely taken up with those things. Here's the challenge of the example of the Savior. Remember what the Lord Jesus said as well in John chapter 4, verse 35. He said to his disciples, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they're white already on the harvest. If you think of the question, why did the disciples have to lift up their eyes to look at the fields? Well, it's because they were looking in the wrong way. They were looking in the wrong direction. They must have been looking down. They must have been looking earthward. And the reality is that often, so often, that is the case with us as God's people. We only see the temporal. We only see the mundane. We look exclusively at this world and all that is found within it. At times, we're guilty of seeing the planet, but we don't see the people. So I ask you again, brethren and sisters, what are you looking at today? As the population of this world is about to tipple over the 8 billion mark, what are you looking at? Are you looking at the people? Are you looking at the multitudes? Remember, that's what the Savior saw. That's what he looked at during his earthly ministry. And we ought to be like him. Remember, to be more like Christ. Our lives are to be conformed to the image of God's dear Son. So we ought to be like him. We too should have this vision of lost souls. Can I say to you that looking in itself is not everything. How you look is the most important thing. So think of the question, how do you look at others? How do you look at those around you in the church this morning? Is it with jealousy, with envy, the green-eyed monster? Do you look at others with critical eyes, judgmental eyes? The Bible speaks even of lustful eyes, lusting after a woman in your heart or a man in your heart for that matter. So how do you look at others, brethren and sisters? Is it in one of those ways, or do you look at the people as Christ did? Note again the words of our text, verse 36. When he saw the multitudes, he was moved. It's hard to get just the full force, the strength of those words. He was moved with compassion on them. His look at the multitudes was not one that was cold or indifferent or one that was indifferent or apathetic. His was a look of compassion. His was a look of one who felt, one who had a burden, one who cared, one who had a concern. He was concerned about all of those lost souls. He was concerned for the spiritual well-being of the people that he was looking out upon. You think of when the Savior met the rich young ruler. And the rich young ruler that day went away unsaved, went away from Christ. still with no hope for eternity. And this is what the Bible records. Jesus beholding him. Here's the look of Christ again. Jesus beholding him, loved him. It's the same response as we have here in our text. There was the loving look. There was a love for souls. And we need to ask ourselves this morning, do we have it, brethren and sisters? Do we have the look of compassion? Christ looked at the people with a love for their lost spiritual condition. And we need to pray the Lord will give that to us. Think of the Apostle Paul, perhaps next to the Savior, the greatest soul winner, perhaps the greatest missionary the world has ever known. Remember, Paul went to Athens. Today, people from all around the world flock to Athens. But Paul didn't go to Athens as a sightseer. Paul went there as a soul winner. Many great sights to see in Athens, the Acropolis. In fact, Mars Hill, where Paul preached, is in the very shadow of the Acropolis. When he preached that great sermon in Acts chapter 17, he was looking up at the Acropolis. But Paul wasn't there as a sightseer. Paul saw the souls. Remember what's recorded? Acts 17, his spirit was stirred in him. He saw the superstition. It says when he saw the city wholly given to idolatry, what was his response as he looked out upon that spiritual darkness? It touched his heart. His spirit was stirred in him. And that, brethren and sisters, is what God wants to see in our hearts, in our lives, that compassion for souls in great need. Remember that David Livingstone married a daughter of Robert Moffat. Robert Moffat was a great missionary to Africa as well. Labored there for over 50 years. It was through one of the furlough visits of Robert Moffat that David Livingstone first got the call to go to Africa. Robert Moffat said that sometimes in the morning, as he looked up to the plain in the north, he could see the smoke of 1,000 villages where no missionary had ever been. It must have been a fantastic view, fantastic sight just to take in the panorama, the landscape, the vista. But as Robert Moffat looked out upon that vast scene and saw the smoke of those villages arising, he didn't see the view. What he could see was the people. He could see the souls in great spiritual need. So here, brethren and sisters, is the look of Christ. Do we have it today? Do we see the multitudes? You know, we can go to the town. We can be engaged in the shopping. We can get frustrated at times with so many people all around us that they're a hindrance to us. We have to queue so much. But you know, as God's people, we need to take a moment and look around and see the multitudes, the look of the Savior, the look of compassion for souls in great spiritual need. The second word is the word pray. It's there in verse 38. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Whenever you get the vision and you see the souls, you realize the work that has to be done. So the question is, what do you do? At times we can be overwhelmed. As the Savior says here, the harvest truly is plenteous. The words of Christ there in verse 37. There's such a great work to be done, brethren and sisters. We feel so small, so insignificant. But remember, the little we can, Lord, let me do. What should we do as the Lord's people, as a church? Well, the answer of Christ here, first of all, is to pray. This is where you start. Can I stress the prominence of prayer in the Bible? Well, here's another example of a challenge, an exhortation for us as the Lord's people to pray. The first thing to do, brethren and sisters, when you get a burden, when you feel the need of souls, is to pray. In fact, you should never do anything in God's work without first committing it to the Lord in prayer. So the Savior says, pray. He says, pray for people. There's many other things that we feel we should pray for, and they have their place. But the Lord Jesus here exhorts us to to pray for people. The command of Christ in this place is pray for people. But you don't want your church filled with any sort of people. The Savior is very specific here. He says, pray for a particular type of people. And those people are laborers. People who will work. People who will do something. People who are willing to roll up their sleeves and get their hands dirty and get involved in the work of the gospel. See, what that indicates is that not everyone is a worker. In fact, what it indicates is that not every Christian, not everyone in the church is a worker. There are many Christians just fill a pew, nothing more than a spectator. Maybe that would describe you this Sabbath morning. So he says, pray for laborers, pray for workers, pray for those that will be a benefit to the church. I wonder, do you fall into that category? But can I show you that even that is not enough, because the Savior is even more specific still. He says, we're to pray for sent laborers. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers, that he will do it. He will send forth laborers into his harvest. Workers who have been sent to the church. That's what we need to pray for. Workers that have been sent by the Lord to the mission field. Remember, they could be sent by a friend. Sometimes people recommend to somebody you should go along to that church, and it's good to do that. But we need people sent of God. They could be sent by a friend. They could be sent by the church, the denomination. They could be sent by the college. But all of that will not guarantee their usefulness in the spread of the gospel. First and foremost, what is needed is laborers sent of God. Those that God has put his hand upon. John the Baptist was such a man sent from God, whose name was John. Paul and Barnabas were such missionaries, they being sent forth by the Holy Ghost. Those sent of God. You know the reality? Some people are sent of the devil to churches. That is often the cause of trouble. That's one of the devil's strategies in attacking a work of God, a church that is being fruitful and progressing in its testimony. So what we need, brethren, is people and workers sent of God. People that God has led to the work. People that God has put it in their hearts to go to the great mission fields of the earth. People who are here in this church because they believe God has brought them here. Because they believe that this is where God wants them to be. That's the sort of person I urge you to pray for. There's so much more that could be done in the spread of the gospel. So much more that could be done in the spread of the gospel in this city, across the province, across the earth. But we need help. We need workers. Therefore, we need to pray. That's how you solve the problem of the lack of workers. You make it a matter of prayer. Lord, send us laborers. Maybe you have prayed in that way. You're to be commended and encouraged. What we need to do is keep praying. Sometimes the Lord tests us, how serious we are. Tests our faith. Tests if we're willing to pray through until the answer we gain. So look, he saw the multitudes. Then pray the Lord of the harvest. And then the third word that's prominent in these verses, this passage that we read, is the word go. Notice chapter 10 and the words of the fifth verse. It says, these 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and as ye go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Just to highlight, it's interesting, we sometimes think that the word go is only found in the Great Commission. There are many places, many references to the word go, many different departments and outreaches of the church. Remember the man of Gadara, go home to your family and tell them, or to your friends, tell them what great things the Lord has done for thee. But it's interesting here, the people that the Lord told to pray were the same people that he sent to labor. In other words, what he's saying is, I want you to pray, but I also want you to go. I also want you to do something. And maybe that's your situation. You have been praying for workers to be sent, and as I've emphasized, you're to be commended for that. But you know, sometimes, brethren and sisters, we hide behind our prayers. Sometimes we make prayer the soft option. We know there's a work to be done, and the Lord's speaking and challenging. Sometimes God wants you to do more than pray. God wants you to go. God wants you to labor. He wants you to go with the gospel. I reminded the folk on Wednesday night, Mr. Paisley used to use that expression. He wants us to put legs to our prayers. He wants us to take action as well as pray. He doesn't necessarily want you to go across the seas to other lands. God doesn't want everyone to go that far. There are many Christians, and all God wants you to do is this. Go across the street and maybe speak to your neighbor about the Savior. Go up the road and give out a few tracts. Go across the town and knock a few doors. Go across the valley to the next town. Let me take a moment just to highlight for you. I thought it would be good to include it in the message rather than the announcements, as the message is the burden of outreaching. It's an appropriate place to do it. The Georgian Day outreach that is organized by our outreach team here every year. It'll take place not next Saturday, the Saturday after, the 26th of November. So as we're thinking of souls, thinking of reaching lost souls, the increasing number of lost souls across this planet, here's an opportunity for you to just go into your own town. Meeting here at the church at 11 o'clock. Literature has been prepared. If you can't get to the church at 11, you can meet the team down in the Market Street area of the city. So I want to encourage as many. May the Lord challenge you about that this morning. So here's an opportunity locally, a practical opportunity for you to get involved in the great soul-winning outreach ministry of the church, and especially of the local congregation here. Remember in that light what the Savior said. The Savior's words, let us go into the next towns that I may preach there also. Remember, that was his ministry there, especially in Galilee. He went from town to town, from city to city, proclaiming the everlasting gospel. Will you do that? Will you go just even to your own town, to your own city, with the message of the gospel? So it's clear, brethren and sisters, God wants you to go. Remember, there's not a word in the Bible that says we're to wait on people coming in. We're just to sit here and wait on people coming into the services. The command of the Word of God is always to go out or to reach out further with the message of the gospel. Think of Psalm 126, the soul winner Psalm, he that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again rejoicing. We're to go forth. I've emphasized to you the two places in this passage, verse 6, verse 7. But go rather, and as you go, preach, say. Think of all the words of the Great Commission, Matthew 16, 15. Go ye into all the world. There's nowhere to be excluded. The Lord wants every nation to hear the message of the gospel. There's going to be in heaven people of every kindred, every tribe, every people, and every tongue. God wants us to go, brethren and sisters. Will you respond? Will you obey that great commission as the Lord gives you health, as he gives you time, as he gives you opportunity? Dr. Charles Swindoll, the American Bible teacher, said, whatever we do, we must not treat the great commission as if it's the great suggestion. When somebody suggests something, it doesn't necessarily mean that you must do it or carry it out. Well, the Great Commission is not like that. A commission is a command. It's an order. It's a charge. It was the final charge of Christ to his church. The great work the Lord gave us to do through this period between the first and second advents of Christ, go in to all the world and preach the gospel. The Lord said to Isaiah the prophet, whom shall I send and who will go? Who will go for us? And God's asking that same question in Armagh. this Sabbath morning. Who will go? Who will go across the street? Who will go down into the city on Georgian Day? Who will go across the earth as a missionary of the gospel? Will you answer this morning, as Isaiah did those many years ago, here am I, sent me. Go for God. Go out into this community with the message of the gospel. There's a lady sitting in one of Mr. Moody's churches, or one of the services in Chicago one morning. And in the course of the message, he said to the congregation, "What are you doing for God?" And whenever he said that, it seemed to be directed especially at this lady. He went down to where she was sitting, and he got her up into the aisle, and he faced her toward the door, and he gave her a little bit of a push. And it was just in the providence of God. It was like a wake-up call to that dear woman. She actually became a missionary to Africa. Her name was Mala Mo. She labored there in that area of Africa that today is generally called Swaziland. There's a part of it that is now in South Africa as well. She worked especially among the English people in that region of Africa at that time. And General Allenby, that was so used in leading the troops, especially during the First World War. Remember, it was General Allenby that took Jerusalem again way back in the time of the First World War. He came to Christ through her labors and through her ministry. You know, there's some people in the Church of Christ, maybe you're one of them, and you need that wee bit of a push into the work, maybe even a push out into full-time service, into the mission field. Well, if that's so, I pray this message might be used of God in that way, a little push into the service of Christ. 8 billion souls. 8 billion people. Untold numbers of that multitude still untold. Untold numbers of them still out of Christ. Here's the challenge of the Scriptures. Look out and see the multitudes today. May the Lord move us with compassion. May that move us to pray. Pray for laborers, and even more, may it move us to go. May it move us to exert ourselves in greater efforts to spread the gospel and winning souls to Christ than we've ever done before. A passion for those souls. Oh, there's many pressures of life, many demands of life, many things that take our attention, increasingly so in the days in which we're found. Even all the bureaucracy that the government is placing upon the church that demands so much of our time in the days in which we're found. But let us never lose the vision, the burden. Let us never lose the focus of the great work that the Lord has given us to do. Harvest fields are waiting. Labor while you may. Christ, the Master, calleth. Come and work today. Or you want to revise that last line in the keeping with the message, go and work today. When he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them. May the Lord bless his word to all our hearts. 514, just two verses. Rescue the perishing, care for the dying. Snatch them in pity from sin and the grave. Weep o'er the erring one, lift up the fallen, tell them of Jesus the mighty to save. 514, we'll sing the first and second verses only, and we'll stand to sing, please.
Thank you.
Father, we ask thee to speak on to our hearts from your word. Help us to lift up our eyes and look in the fields, see the harvest to be gathered in, the souls still to be reached. Lord, continue to use this congregation as a soul-winning church. We pray that you'll give us greater days of soul-winning. Give us, Father, a greater harvest of souls than we've ever known before. We pray that'll be true of the whole free church across the land and even across the earth in these days. Let there be, Father, a going forward of the work of the gospel. We pray that you'll use us even as you used Barnabas of old, that much people was added unto the Lord. Abide with us through today. Lord, give us help and direction. Grant us wisdom. Remember the service tonight. Bring in the lost. Bring in visitors. And we plead, Father, bring souls to the Savior. And now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the fellowship of the Holy Ghost be with us all, for Jesus' sake. Amen.